I don't think we have.
I feel like we haven't. We haven't had the power to Hurricast.
We always wait till after the hurricane right. to try to do a Hurricast, and it doesn't work. Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is a zero, but I did take a muscle relaxer for my back. It's prescription. It's not my prescription. No. So we'll see how loopy I get as the show goes on. This is a special Hurricast. This is a Dome Patrol Hurricast edition where Jason and Jeff, we're here to talk you through your hurricane preparation, your hurricane. If you're listening to this, maybe you're listening to it after the hurricane passed and you don't have any power and you've only got 6% left on your battery, and you chose to give your 6% to the Dome Patrol.
you chose us. We know you love us.
Yeah, that's right. That's because they didn't have to pay to listen to it. All right,
free for all.
That's right. So yeah, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and try not to get blown away. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm probably going to go with probably at least a five. At least a five.
Already?
They closed the office at about 3:15, so I got home. I exercised. I got in the elliptical, lifted some weights, cooked dinner, but once I was done working out, took a shower, I'm like, it's hurricane time, and I'm used to drinking during hurricane time, so I'm like, fuck it. Why not? I wasn't planning on doing it, but fuck it. So I'm already on my third cocktail.
Nice.
So I'm feeling pretty good. That's kind of why I wanted to do a show. I was like, I'm feeling good. Let's do it. Look, there's a lot of stuff going on. People may be evacuating and may need something to listen to on their drive.
That's
so
right. That's we're here to provide point. You with good that. Point. All right. So now, before we get deeper into hurricane stuff, there is a bit of news in the Saints world. That is, Jameis Winston has been named the official starting quarterback to succeed Drew Brees for the New Orleans Saints.
I'm not going to say I called it 4 months ago, but I mean, we kind of called it. We knew it.
I personally, and again, I'm not trying to like be all like I knew. I never thought it wasn't going to be Jameis. Maybe I felt a little bit for, hey, there might be a little battle. You know, it's not going to be easily Jameis's, but it'd be Jameis. But I think for me, once we saw him doing the practices on his own with the receivers, it was a done deal for me.
And that's it. You could see him that year behind Breeze really helped him real, like, you know, he saw what a maniac Breeze was, and he's like, hey man,
if you want to be like that,
you kind of got to do stuff like this. And he had the experience, and some of it too for me, I think, was probably just hearing people that I would interact with that just didn't believe in him. For whatever reason, you know, they saw him with, maybe because he was with an enemy for a few years and he threw all these picks.
Your personal feelings, right?
And they let their personal feelings get in the way, and they just, I don't know. I don't know that I can believe in him. And it's like, well, if you were to be objective and look at it, number one draft pick, all this experience, yes, he threw a lot of picks, but against Taysom, who has started four games. Mm-hmm. And was good at certain things that he does, but even To me, it was the four games we saw of Taysom last year. Even though he did improve coming into this year, you could still see, like, that guy's just not, he's just not a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. That, and to go back to the Jameis thing, what aggravated me and continues to aggravate me is the only knock that Jameis deniers have. They always go to, it's one or two things. One, he threw 30 interceptions. And two, he stole crab legs. It's those two things. That is the only two things they can say negative about him. And both of those things, like, one, I am not convinced that crab legs thing was crab legs, like stealing crab legs. I think it was crab legs, but I don't think he stole it. I think he took one for the, to protect the team because he was getting a, he was getting free gifts, you know?
Yo, 100% doing it. 100%. So, oh, you're the starting quarterback of our team in Tallahassee?
Yeah, here, you don't pay for crab legs. And then he got caught, and they're like, no, I stole them. Because, and that's the kind of guy you want leading your team who's going to take the fall to protect the team.
He's going to own up. He's going to man up.
30 interceptions. I mean, at this point, if you lean on that as your thing, you don't know shit about football. You're not an analyst. You don't know what you're talking about. So you don't even have merit.
A lot of people don't have merit. But don't forget, there's also the whole eating the W thing too. So
That's cool. What are you talking about?
Oh, we're about to eat some dubs this year.
Right. Yeah, but that was stupid. That was goofy. It was stupid.
A lot of it because a lot of people could just keep making the joke. They can make the crab legs joke. They can make the eat the dubs joke. And now that he's ours, you can't joke about
it's
that.
It's endearing.
Right.
Well, okay. So look, last week I made the gif out of it and I put it on Twitter. You know, and Drew Brees did this too all the time. And, you know, when you warm up and you do the little shifty shuffly things and all that, and he looked like, yes, he went to school of Drew and he was doing all of Drew's pregame prep and everything like that. But it is funny. Like when Drew did it, you looked at it and you were like, look at that focus. Look at that man. And when Jameis does it, it's like, he looks so goofy.
Right.
But I love it. I love him for it. I love him. I love a goofy guy. He's, you know what I mean? He's great. that's gonna be the new one. Come up with a character for Jameis.
I mean, look, when Drew would warm up and he would thrust his pelvis and he would stretch out and he would be like humping the turf, we're like,
yes.
Look, if that was somebody else's quarterback, you're like, this dude's fucking ridiculous. But it was right. Drew. Oh, dude, that's right. He's our guy. He's great. He's great.
Well, and Drew had the skins on the wall to where you can't laugh at it. But all right, I do have Jameis's statistics since he got into the NFL. And I know you love it when I read off stats.
Stats. Remember when we used to do that back in the day?
Yeah, we did.
We had
Adam Statman. Adam was Statman.
Adam was Statman.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, Adam?
Atreyu!
Falcor!
Atreyu!
Falcor!
Atreyu!
So we're gonna look at some stats because I think we need to know who we're like. You said something that made me want to look at his stats, and it was about how he's got the pedigree, he's got experience, he's got, we'll call it pedigree for lack of a better word right now. And he does, like, look, if you 2015 first year, right? 58% completion rate, 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns.
As a rookie, which is
4,000 yards, 58% completion rate. Now, just for comparison,
I mean, look, there's a lot of big time players come in and they don't win, right? As a rookie, it's hard. Like Troy Aikman didn't win a game his rookie year. Peyton Manning went 3-13 his first year. And Peyton threw a bunch of picks his first year. Like he threw a lot of touchdowns. He also threw a lot of picks because it's hard when you're a rookie and you finally see NFL defenses, the windows get tighter. Yeah. It's hard.
Well, look
it's
at
hard.
Trevor Lawrence against the Saints defense in preseason. What he had to deal with. And I don't mean that as a joke. I mean, I swear Trevor Lawrence of that preseason game looked like a deer in headlights. Like he looked so out of his league.
He's definitely got some Superdome demons too.
Maybe that's it. All right. So I just want to by comparison, Drew Brees' first year at San Diego, 55% completion rate versus Jameis's 58%. Drew Brees' first year, he threw for 221 yards. Okay, let's not count that. Let's count 2002. So 60%. Okay, Drew's okay. Better. Okay.
Getting there.
3,200 yards. And I'm rounding down. And 17 touchdowns, where Jameis had, 22 touchdowns. So I'd say, both of them had a pretty similar year, give or take. So then, all right, Jameis went on 16, 17, 18, and 19. He never threw below 60% completion. So that is 60%. So his average career up to up to including last year's one, seven passes or something?
Yeah.
His completion rate is 61.4%. Okay. Drew Brees' career completion is 67. So 67%.
Well, and also, Drew Brees is the most accurate passer in the history of the NFL.
Right. He's 6% off.
You're comparing him to the greatest.
Right. Right. And yeah, Drew had 70%, or he had Drew's last 18 and 19, he threw for 74% completion rate.
It's easy when you throw it 8 yards.
Exactly. So yeah, Drew, pretty much always in that. In those, but again, you're looking for if you're looking for somebody to succeed Drew, you're never going to get Drew. Somebody who throws over 60% completions, that's about as good as you can ask someone to be.
At least in his first few years. Now, in today's day and age in the NFL, completion percent with the new rules, the completion percentage in general is normally higher. So I'm sure if you look at Jameis's last few, they were a little higher than the 60. But I think really the big thing is, we were kind of handicapped the last couple of years. The offense was handicapped based on whatever Drew could and could not do anymore. And look, Sean was married to it. We're not going to kick Drew to the curb. He's the greatest player in Saints history. We're still able to win games. But you look at the game the other night, and the explosive plays that have come back to this offense now, it adds a new wrinkle. And I think Sean is excited now, because the last few years he hadn't been able to do some of these things. And now he's able to design plays to take advantage of what our capabilities are now. And I think a lot of people are sleeping that. The Saints win total is only 9. For a while I was maybe it'll be under, but I'm kind of leaning more now towards the over. On this. Just looking at how much talent is still on the team. We thought we were going to be weak in certain spots, like linebacker, which we're stronger now. Receiver, to me, there's still a question, even though Callaway has emerged. But if Thomas comes back in week six, and when Onyemata comes back after his suspension, this team's going to be pretty damn loaded.
Yep.
So if they can just get through the first 6 weeks at 500, there's no reason we can't win 10, 11 games this year.
Yeah.
And Winston is going to be the guy that can get us there, and Taysom just,
right.
I'm sorry. Well, he just can't.
Yeah. You think about it too, right? Jameis Winston's throwing 61%, throwing a shit ton of deep balls. Drew Brees got his 68% throwing a whole lot of screen passes. Archie Manning never threw. Well, he did some seasons, but his average was 55%. Bob Gaber was 58%.
Right, but
yeah, but the people who don't like Jameis always, Archie is the best too.
Well,
okay,
well, there's a lot of dumb Saints fans out there.
right. People want to cling to the past instead of looking to the future. Name a quarterback that the league, the NFL, the talking heads all try to shove down your throat, but not Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is pretty good.
All right, let's compare Jameis to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's probably...
65%. All right.
I mean, look, it's...
I don't see any 5,000-yard seasons for Aaron Rodgers, though. Huh.
How about that? Yeah, well, to me, the big thing, and I think why Jameis is going to be successful and he's going to be different than he was in the past, is because working here the last year and a half, he threw a lot of passes he shouldn't have. you know, a lot of these picks were two or three balls where he just thought, I'm good enough, I can do it. And in the reality, it, you just, I'm and sorry, you can't, everybody is a pro, you can't do it. And getting that in his head now where, yes, you can make a lot of throws, take him, but on some of the throws where you're in the past, he would try to squeeze it in, he would throw a bad pass, and he'd throw a pick, he's not going to do that anymore. So that is the, that's the, and, you know, you say it's only a couple passes a game, but those are interceptions, pick six, you know, like the game. Right, the turnovers that determine outcomes of games, like that's it's so massive.
Yep. Now, did you hear during the preseason? Well, you weren't watching. So during the preseason game, the announcers did mention, you know, they're talking about Drew Brees sent a message to Jameis, you know, encouragement, and he said, "Remember, like your my words of wisdom, right? Are what was it? Be Bruce Wayne until you have to be Batman," which I think is exactly what you're talking about. He basically, Drew was telling him, you don't need to be Batman right out of the gate. Be Bruce Wayne, let the team win, lead, you know what I mean? And you think about it, that was Drew's style. Drew did what he did, but then when it came time to, hey, we need a 2-minute touchdown, Batman came out.
Well, there were a lot of times in the past when Breeze was at peak Breeze where he was Batman all the time.
Well, he couldn't help it.
Well, he was also good enough to do that. I mean, and he, you know, he could, but the last 2 years, and look at the stretch.
Maybe Breeze meant play by play. Like, hey, that you don't have to force every pass. I mean, if you see it, take it. Like that pass to Callaway in the corner.
Oh God, it was great. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was
his passes were so precise.
Both of those touchdown passes were, they were beautiful. they were really something.
And both him and Callaway deserve credit for that. That was a, I mean, if we see that over and over and over again, think of how good the running game's going to be because of the deep threat.
Right. We
and that's Kamara. That's Kamara. Dude.
Right. Right. You just, and I'm so excited to get to watch these plays again in the dome again to see, you know, as the plays develop and all of a sudden you see the receiver running and you see him chuck it and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And the crowd's like on the edge of their seat and then they go nuts. Like, I can't wait to see that again.
Right. Oh my God. And it's kind of like, you know, I love that trust because it's almost, it goes back to even when they were practicing and didn't it come out that Jameis told the receivers, like, don't make me look bad. Like, don't slow down. You know, I'm gonna get it. Like, you keep running. If you're running, I'm throwing. And it's almost like I think of it as, is he looking there and he's, as he's reading the defense and he sees, okay, Callaway or Harris or somebody is got one-on-one coverage. And if he's on the left side and he, when they snap the ball, the safety cheats a little right. And if he can get behind that cornerback, he's gonna launch that every time. One-on-one deep ball. Jameis is going to put it in
which is what happened on one of those touchdown passes. Like he diagnosed the defense, saw what was happening and made the right decision. And that's as
trusted his receiver to get behind the quarterback. Right?
That's what a successful quarterback does.
Yep.
So to me, that's like, if he's doing that, all the athletic abilities are there.
Yeah.
So now if he's got the mindset, and that's why I said, like, being behind Breeze for a year was the best thing that could have ever happened.
Yeah. Well, and think about it, and being with Peyton, genius,
and being with Peyton, you're right,
and
you're right.
Carmichael, genius. I mean, Peyton Carmichael, if they do the same thing with Jameis like they did with Breeze, I mean, you talk about they talk about the bus seat, right? Eventually, Jameis should be sitting next to Sean Payton. They should be putting game plans together. And like they said, like even like Peyton would consult with Breeze about like what guys do we want to bring into this team. And I really hope that they do that with Jameis too. I, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to replace Breeze and nobody will replace him. But if you can find another quarterback that you can have that kind of a relationship with, that's where the dynasty comes from. I mean, I think part of it, Scott brought up Bill Parcells and the Patriots on last week's episode.
Belichick.
What'd I say? Parcells.
Parcells has a lot of influence on Belichick and Peyton.
That's true. But yeah, Belichick, and you know, maybe that's part of what their issue is he's not getting that chemistry with Cam Newton.
This is Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots. He's won 3 Super Bowls. How? He cheated. He even got caught cheating, and nobody cares. Bill Belichick proved that in America it's okay to cheat, as long as you cheat your way to the top. Fundamental ways to cheat. Getting material ahead of time. When Bill Belichick cheated for the Patriots, what did he do? He videotaped the opposing team's defense. Think of the defense as your test. When Bill Belichick got caught with his camera, he did not panic. He simply said what every good white cheater says when caught. I misinterpreted the rules. Just before the last Super Bowl, Bill Belichick gathered his football players and said, let's win this one for real. Just this one time. Let's not cheat. You know what happened? They lost.
Good.
And look, you know, Sean Payton is one of the best coaches in the league, and coaching still matters. The coaching cycle now in the league is such a quick turnaround. Like if you suck after 1 or 2 years, teams don't mind firing you. They'll bring in somebody else. But there's a lot of guys coming in as head coaches, and they're not really head coach material, not in the sense that like Sean, you know, Belichick, Sean,
Andy Reid,
maybe Mike Tomlin. You know, I mean, he's got a couple Super Bowls. It's hard to argue against them. But there's only a handful of legitimate, like, top-tier coaches.
Yeah.
And coaching matters so much in the NFL now. And we've got one of the best.
Not only
a
head coach, but, right, yeah, yes, the head coach, but those position coaches, too. I mean, look at the difference. Remember when we lost Curtis?
CJ, Curtis Johnson.
That was
a few years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and our receiver corps.
It dropped.
Kind of fell.
And then Curtis came back.
And they got better.
Callaway.
Is he there now?
Yeah.
No,
he's back. Yeah. But and I know we talked about it, Ryan Nielsen on the defensive line making a big difference. And look, getting rid of Jovid and getting rid of Bill Johnson.
Oh, coaching Bill Johnson. I mean,
look, there was a massive change when we got rid of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, coaching matters. So I am like really, really excited to think about if Jameis, if what we saw in that preseason game is really what is going to be consistently what we get. And that's not just Jacksonville or him being really, really motivated. Right. But I am a believer because I just feel like I see it and I hear it. And I, you know, Scott doesn't want to put any thought into press conferences, but that does matter. How you talk to your team and how you talk to your family and how you talk to the media. I mean, it's anything, any motivational speaker, any politician, anyone, when you talk, it matters how you say what you say. And I believe he speaks with conviction.
And you can see, like, apparently the players were congratulating him on earning the job, but you can tell like the team's behind him.
Yeah.
And that's huge. Look, that's another one of the reasons Breeze was so good. He commanded that fucking team. And everybody believes in James. If the team believes in you, it's going to be better than if like,
and you believe in the team.
Right. So it's amazing how quickly we were able to turn and to be like, man, I don't know if we win 7 games and whatever happens. And now we're
Super
like,
Bowl.
Dude, we're winning the division.
There's no limit to what can happen. I mean, right? Think about it. In not just being a fan, but we saw Jameis in game action. And again, it's still just like a microscopic sample. But what it also showed us is we saw the offensive line. We saw it wasn't just Jameis. It was Callaway. It's the defense in 2 games now. We really are seeing like all of our question mark. Like Crawley, if Crawley is what he's doing, Callaway is what he's doing, Jameis is what he's doing. That's 3 major question marks solved. Linebackers, like you said, better than we thought they'd be. Mm-hmm. Juwan Johnson, only tight end on the team right now, I guess. But right. Now, who knew that was going to be our thin spot? But so I think that's, and then you think about, we have not even seen this team with Kamara on the field.
And just wait when Michael Thomas comes back in week 7.
So you can't sit here and say, like, where's the hole? Where's the weak spot?
I mean, I would still say,
the D-line is playing good.
Well, but Onyemata is going to be out for 6. Onyemata has been playing in the preseason. That's made a difference. So with him being out, that's going to be a little bit of a question mark. Crawley is going to miss a week or two. He may or may not be ready for week 1. That could still be an issue.
Adebo.
And then still, like, let's see the receivers go up against not Jacksonville.
Right. I want to know. Oh shit! I forgot. I guess my Xanax is kicking in.
Lost my train of thought. All right.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dome Patrol Relaxicast.
Are you stressed out because the hurricane got your car? Don't worry about it. Call your insurance agent. They'll take care of it and listen to the Dome Patrol podcast while you wait.
That storm will be gone in 2 days.
Or maybe I should do it real close to the mic. Is that a little more soothing? All right, wait, what were we talking about now? Oh, the weak spots, the team, this, that.
Right.
Michael Thomas coming back.
Kicker is going to be an issue. We don't know. We still have Rosas. Maybe we can get the Baltimore kicker until Lutz comes back. So I would say kicker is definitely a weak spot. Receiver, I'd like to see it in a few regular season games because, to me, that's still a weak spot. And we'll see how Crawley's injury is or not.
Now, where I wonder are we thin though?
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm not impressed by the twos and threes in the preseason games.
No, look, that was one of the last 4 years we had the benefit of being one of the deepest teams where we could survive an injury. Now, just imagine, God forbid, if Callaway goes down,
right?
We are kind of fucked. We already lost a couple tight ends. If we lose him.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm more worried about is we might be able to overcome one injury at one, not at receiver, but at another position.
At a different position, right.
But
right.
You know how football works, and you don't finish the season with the same 22 guys that you started it with.
Right. And look, there's a lot of teams that are going to be stuck too. If they get an injury to a certain spot, they're going to be stuck too. It's common. You know, we were just, for whatever reason, the last few years, we've been fortunate to be the deepest team in the league. Now that we had to lose a bunch of guys, yes, we're okay in the starting spot, but let's hope that we don't have anything major, at least through the first 6-7 weeks until we can get some other guys back. That's all we can hope for.
Okay, so I don't know if this is true or not, but Scott just shared this. It says, Marshall Lattimore would like a new contract before week one.
That was actually,
is that a
that real? Was actually Wes shared it, but I also I didn't see anything mentioned on Twitter. So if it's not on Twitter, I don't consider it as being real.
Okay.
I mean, I can't imagine knowing that he had the potential suspension coming on that he would do that right now. So I don't believe that to be true. I mean, look, we've seen some bad Saints takes posted recently, so.
What are you doing, Wes? Come on.
So, I mean, look, he's betting on himself to have a good season, and, you know, whether we franchise tag him next year or give him a new deal, we'll see. I mean, again, a lot of it's going to depend on what the attendance is this year, what the overall league revenue is, and what the salary cap's going to do. I mean, as of now, everybody's playing on full stadium, so I would think, you know, the salary cap should go back up to what it normally would be. And yeah, we can give them a nice fat extension.
Yeah. Did you happen to take a look at the article? I think it's on Saints Wire about kind of list each team's potential tradable player.
No.
I actually read through it, and there are some scenarios again, like if we need a tight end or if we need a defensive lineman, but didn't the Saints just sign a defensive lineman this afternoon?
We signed some 32-year-old guy named Square. So I don't know, maybe. But I will say if we were going to make a move and we do have some salary space, especially if we decide to cut Murray, which will free up $3 million, we could trade for Zach Ertz. I wouldn't be opposed to that, especially considering our receiving options, getting a guy like that could really, really help the receiving options. So I'd be fine with it, with trading for him. But other than that, I don't see anything. I mean, we do have a lot of linebackers, so maybe a linebacker needy team could offer us something for somebody, and we'll trade a linebacker. Maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Ertz, I wouldn't mind getting Ertz in here.
Yeah. Well, just even if it was, I mean, I guess he'd play the whole season. I mean, he's not.
Wait,
that no. old, right? How old is he?
He's probably like 30. I mean, he's fine. He's just I know they have another guy, Dallas Goedert, that they really like, and Ertz does have a high salary. So I don't know who's, in terms of the trade, who picks up his salary, how that affects the cap. But I know we do have some space, but if I was going to, and look, we'll see what, you know, there's still all the cuts.
Coming into his ninth year, he's, I mean, if Tony Gonzalez played for 65 years, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. But it's a position of need with Troutman and Venegas injured. So I'd be all for it. I'd be all for some kind of receiving help. And we'll still have to see, look, all these teams are going to have to cut down. So maybe we're eyeing somebody on the team that may get cut, whether receiver or tight end, and we pick them up. But I definitely think we're going to be picking up somebody once the first round, you know, once the final cuts get made, there's somebody the Saints are going to bring in.
Why did Zach Ertz not play the full season? Did he get hurt last year?
He probably did get hurt last year. Yeah.
Okay. Because his production dropped significantly last
year. Yeah. He definitely got hurt. But he's still quality. I would take him. Now we'll see what his,
you know, yeah,
what his cap figure is. I mean, that's,
he's only got 3 full seasons in all in his 9 years, 8 years. He might be in, I mean, again, we need him till the other guys get healthy too.
Well, and I mean,
have to be the only guy, because in Philadelphia, wasn't he kind of the only?
Well, they've had
real Goddard receiving tight end.
No, they've had Goddard for the last 2 or 3 years, and they've kind of slowly given him more work and edged off from Ertz. But look, even when the other guys get back, you know, you get Juwan, Troutman, and Ertz. That's a pretty solid tight end group.
Yeah, we'll trade Vanette.
Yeah, or just cut him. Fuck it.
Okay, we don't know you. Yeah. How'd you even get here?
Right.
This guy, he's gonna be the, like, he'll catch a touchdown in the NFC Championship game, though. Right. That's gonna be his one thing. He's gonna have to be a Brian Milne.
No, he'll have a couple of good blocks.
There you go. Well, and if that's why they brought him here, then right, put him in a run package.
So yeah, but you know, the game tomorrow is canceled, so there's no more preseason games for the Saints.
Canceled, not rescheduled.
Canceled. I just figured they would move it to Arizona.
Do you think that's a good thing? Well, but I thought about that, but I kind of think that would be shitty to the Saints players, because they have houses and homes and families that they need to make sure are prepared for the storm.
Well, they do, but they're also, like, they're apparently flying to Dallas tomorrow for a few days to avoid the storm. So, yes, they do need to take care of their families here, but like, they could have moved the game to Sunday and still stayed here, got their stuff in order, and flew out to Arizona tomorrow. The game to the
freaking Tuesday or Monday.
It doesn't
matter.
Right, because there's still 2 weeks until the regular season. So if you have the game on Sunday or Monday, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. So I really just to keep it for the fringe guys that may still be fighting for a spot. And now there's no.
That's what I was wondering, is how important is it to play? Just think about it. We didn't want 4 preseason games. So we finally got 3, and then now we're down to 2.
Now we got 2. Right. So look, we'll
find out if you can field a team and be ready.
I think we knew who we were going to keep, but still, like, for these guys, they want another shot to go out to prove it, to put some game tape, even if not for us, at least for another team. So it does suck for them. Really sucks for them. I'm surprised they didn't just play it in Arizona in a few days, but
or scrimmage. Yeah, for all we know, they might scrimmage.
They might, but we're going to be in Dallas, so that'd be hilarious if, with us practicing in Dallas, we may show up on Hard Knocks. I might have to watch the Hard Knocks episode.
Oh, I might actually watch it.
The Saints come into town. The Cowboys look over and see a professional organization,
and they see Gail Benson eating a McGriddle without salt.
Put some Tony's on it.
Oh, that would be good. I like that.
So,
all right.
So yeah, it's amazing how quickly I'm excited now for the Green Bay game, assuming we survive what happens over the next 48 hours.
Well, that's, yeah. So if it stays where we think it's going, New Orleans shouldn't be as bad.
Shouldn't be.
Again, a lot of people see, and that's the other thing, a lot of people who aren't from here don't realize, like, the storms, they talk about the storm surge and all this stuff. That's all the land. There's a whole lot of marshland and swampland and Louisiana before you get to New Orleans. So it's not like the hurricane is making landfall on New Orleans. So like you said, it's going to be further west. So it's going to be a little weaker by the time I mean, it's,
look, we're
it's
still
not like on... Katrina coming up the mouth of the Mississippi.
Well, no, that was the right. That was the disaster. And right. Yes, we are being on the east side of the storm. That's not the best spot. There's going to be a lot of water. And with the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, we'll see what happens.
You got all the beads out the sewers?
Well, there's a few turbines that aren't working because, of course, during hurricane season, repairs. I mean, look, city of New Orleans is pretty incompetent, but I do think if the storm stays on the track, look, we're going to lose power. We're going to get a lot of rain. There may be a little flooding, but I don't think it's going to be disastrous. Whereas like Baton Rouge is just going to get nailed. And I'll feel for you guys in Baton Rouge, like Baton Rouge is going to get hammered. Baton Rouge is really getting hammered.
What if, yeah, like if the eye may pass over Baton Rouge or a couple of miles east.
Or yeah. So, like, I mean,
it's that corridor of I-10 between New Orleans and Baton
yeah,
Rouge.
Yeah, it's like
going to get.
Right, like Gonzales is going to get hit hard. LaPlace is going to get hit hard.
And, look, and then the North Shore is.
I mean, there's going to be some lake surge, like. For any of the people that live close to the lake, they may have some issues, but you know, assuming it, as long as it doesn't shift east any,
yeah,
I think our area should be. I mean, look, we're still going to get some damage. We're still going to get some water and some flooding, but we're going to avoid like the catastrophic shit.
Yeah,
but
I'm curious the winds, right? So we're talking about 140 mile per hour winds, which Katrina I think came in at 120, 130. Mm-hmm. So you saw all the roof damage in New Orleans and Biloxi and the whole Gulf Coast from those winds.
Right.
And then you take 140 and you look at Laura that came through Lake Charles and like it pushed the riverboat casino and like threw it under a bridge. I mean, it just like leveled buildings. Like it was, yeah. It was, and even with Katrina, like if you go to Biloxi, giant pads where there used to be condominiums.
Casino, well, in casino, like the casinos that were on, it shifted the casinos off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So this coming now, the question is coming into like Morgan City, Thibodeau, like you said, like what's there? Like it's not city. You know what I mean? It's not like New Orleans or
it's downtown a lot of land. There's a lot of sugarcane fields in that area,
right?
You know,
yeah. So you might not see as much destruction, like buildings and things. I mean, not to say that there aren't buildings, but it's probably more residential and that like warehouse right. agriculture right. type stuff. So yeah. It might not look as bad on the news, right? It's like, oh, it's just flooding. Okay.
No, but the news will focus on the certain strips, like around Nichols. You know, like there's a lot of businesses, stuff like that. I'm sure they'll focus because that's gonna take a lot of damage. So I'm sure the footage you'll see will be of the concentrated, like in downtown Thibodeau and Nichols.
They'll take a piece of sheet metal and throw it across the background while Jim Cantor.
They're definitely gonna take a lot of damage.
Standing in a studio.
Somewhere. Supposedly he checked into a hotel in LaPlace.
I think that was a joke.
It might have been real. I mean, LaPlace is gonna take a pretty good.
LaPlace is going underwater.
My dad's staying.
Really?
Now, luckily, like he's in one of the higher spots of LaPlace. He's not gonna flood.
Okay.
He's definitely gonna lose power, but he's not gonna flood.
Yeah, because he's closer to the river.
Right, but like I think my mom's gonna she's gonna go to the condo offshore. Yeah. Yeah, because that's my
dad. He's
just like,
going to make sure in case something happens to the house, he can take
care
of it.
Which is kind of why I want to stay. It's like, I know we're going to lose power, but, you know, my house is only 18 months old. It's like, I kind of want to be here and make sure, like, nothing.
Yeah. I would think, right, with it being new, it's probably sturdier.
Oh, look, it's definitely built to withstand a lot. You know, maybe we'll lose a shingle or two, but... And again, look, if it's just...
Right, and you have an upstairs. In case, like, I don't think water's coming into your house.
Oh, no, I'm not worried. Like, we're in a relatively higher spot, and our house is built up, like, about 5-6 feet. So I'm not worried about flooding. It's just any wind damage.
Yeah. But yeah, you saw the picture. My neighbors decided after the trash came, they've got, like, two mattresses, a nightstand, a bunch of furniture, a bunch of stuff they put out by the road. Trash isn't coming. Next week, even.
Oh, it's just going to swoop it into somebody else's yard.
I mean, what? Who? Who? What? Why? I mean, dumb and smart at the same time. I have a right mind to go knock on the door if I didn't think that they'd shoot me because they're the, those kind of people.
Right.
But how do I passively, aggressively?
What if you call? Can you call the cops on him?
I mean, we talked about that actually, and I don't think the cops are going to take it seriously. Like,
probably not.
Sorry,
probably
not my problem.
Right.
But I did take a picture of it because if one of those pieces of furniture flies into my house, who's paying for that? Is that my insurance? Is that his insurance?
I mean, it's going to be your insurance, but it's his stuff.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
I think, well, actually, so with mine, and again, it was another hurricane. It picked up my trampoline in the backyard and threw it over. And so it hit kind of like a part of my house.
Did it bounce into the fence. Next yard?
It did. It bounced off. It jumped. It did a flip. It hit the neighbor's house and there was a little dent on the fascia board, you know, like a little aluminum siding or whatever. So I called my insurance guy and I'm like, so who's responsible for what? And he said, well, you didn't secure your trampoline down. So you're responsible for that damage to his house. Okay. So in that logic, this guy comes and puts a bunch of trash out in front of the yard. If that trash damages my house, it's his insurance.
That's the question. What kind of insurance does he have?
Probably none. Somebody who does that is behind on their insurance bill.
Right. So yeah, I'm gonna ride it out. We'll see what happens. I may lose power, but we've got I got a generator, so we got, you know, we moved everything to the back refrigerator that we'll plug in, and my brother has a whole home generator, and he lives a little.
Oh, nice.
So if we have, yeah, we were eventually we're gonna get one of those. We just couldn't afford it right now, but if we had to go somewhere for a little bit with AC, we can go over to his house.
Yeah, you have those options, so that's right. Not too bad.
But I'll be anxious to see what happens with my dad in Laplace. I mean, I know he's not going to flood, but he's definitely going to lose power. And
yeah, he may be at your brother's house on a Monday afternoon.
Right. But yeah, Laplace.
Yeah, I live the pool in the back. So even like if it's daytime and I'm hot, I'll just go sit in the pool.
Ah.
The old Riverland style.
Right.
And then at night I can run the AC, the window unit.
Right. Right.
So I think, yeah, if you need to cook, you cook on your barbecue pit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I've already, yeah, we're good. We have a gas stove too. So we can use the stove. We can use the pit. We'll be.
Are you going to board up your windows?
We have storm shutters on the front.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll just close the storm shutters.
All right.
Well, we're super
well
fancy.
Well played, Mr. Experienced Hurricane Survivor guy.
Same, my first hurricane. I'm finally paying off those fucking shutters next month. So.
You're like, I'm glad this hurricane's coming so I can use these sumbitches.
Right. We've used them twice, and it's each time it's been a hurricane.
Are they the kind that you turn the knob and it closes? Like
no, so that no, they latch in. Open, so we pull them off and we close them, and then there's some metal pieces and some screws where we slide them in, and then we screw them in to keep them shut. Like they're like nice. legitimate shutters, like, not just
real shutters. Not that. Yeah.
Right.
Good deal. And you don't have to use a ladder because you go in your balcony.
Yes, I don't need a ladder, but I have them on the bottom floor and the top floor.
Yeah,
have them on both. We don't have it for the door. We don't have it for the side windows. But
if you do a live stream from the we won't have power. Oh no, we did say we'll have internet. We could do a live stream from our phones.
Oh yeah,
we're reporting live from the hurricane.
Oh look, I'll definitely take some video.
Yeah,
I'll definitely take some live video, and we can figure out.
I always find the video never comes out as dramatic as reality. You know, because you can't see wind as much.
Yeah, but if I had
this
Renee
thing coming in at like 1 a.m, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to hit like 7-8 at night or whenever, but yeah. But during, we're gonna get gusts during the day, you know. Sunday evening we're gonna have the gusts, so maybe I can head outside and have Renee film me, and I can be like pretending to be blown over. Like, remember when I always said it was crazy before? It wasn't crazy. Now it's crazy.
She'll throw a bucket of water. All right. Well, I think I'm, as far as the Saints are concerned, the first game cannot get here soon enough. As far as Hurricane is concerned, that can wait.
Fuck off, Hurricane.
Right. Ida. I was trying to think of like a COVID thing, you know, most like if ever New Orleans is like, if in a way there's a case to be made that New Orleans started the pandemic, at least in the United States, because of Mardi Gras. Remember, it was Mardi Gras in February, and then
we were pretty
March, and all the people came to Mardi Gras, super spreader event. They went back home. Next thing you know, the United States has COVID, and we have to shut down in March, April.
Would you say we put the country in a tailspin?
So then we have all these issues where we're not getting vaccinated in New Orleans to the rate that we wanted. And here comes a hurricane. Is it nature's way of saying, like, I'm going to clean up around here? And the fact that it's named Ida, is it kind of like, if I were you, Ida got the vaccine?
No, sir. I didn't like it.
All right. Any final thoughts?
I just hope everyone out there is safe, and you know, look, this is bad news. This is a big time storm. I don't wish it on anybody. I've dealt with storms all my life, so this is serious shit. I'm hoping that it's not. I mean, look, it's gonna be bad. I'm just hoping that any of you listen out there, I hope y'all stay safe, and everybody ends up okay. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets injured. Just.
Yeah,
it's part of life in Louisiana. You know, it sucks, but it's part of life in Louisiana these days. So just stay safe out there, everybody. That's all I can say.
I find, yeah, the older I get, the more I respect the storms. I used to be, you know, you're young, invincible, immortal, and I used to be a hurricane party. Now, don't get me wrong, hurricane party is still a thing, but yeah, I kind of like that when it's coming, when it's passing through. I used to love when the hurricane, like, I remember Andrew, and it was a scary night, right?
Oh, yeah,
I loved it. It was a thrilling night.
A tornado came right in my backyard.
Yeah,
for Andrew,
but it was thrilling, and it was, you know, you weren't too worried about it for whatever reason. Maybe my parents were good at making us not scared. Right. Like, my dad took a shower outside in Andrew. Like, nah, it's not that bad. Look at me. And he showered out there. But now, yeah, when that storm comes through, even up here where we're only going to get 60 miles per hour winds only, I'm not as, like, I say I'm not as concerned about it, but when it's happening, the anxiety I have, like, it's not my life that I'm scared for. It's, please don't, like, shingles don't flip off, please.
Right.
Or, you know, the aluminum, the soffit, the ceiling on the back patio, like, please don't rip off. Like, I just don't want to deal with that shit. Although if the roof's shingles wanted to come off, it's not the worst thing to get a new roof and have the insurance company pay for it. Maybe I'll go out there Sunday night with my
a crowbar. Peel them off in the storm.
Throw them in the neighbor's trash pile.
Quite the wind we have out here tonight.
Draft the hurricanes tomorrow night. Oh, shit. All right. Well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network for podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the Dome Patrol podcast, the 2-Point Conversion, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitch for when we do live streams. We're already there. We haven't done any live streams on Twitch yet, but when we do, you will be notified if you follow us at twitch.tv/Dome Patrol Podcast. The whole thing. And then, you know, there's the old fashioned way. If you want to listen to it, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Yeah, I can.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, preseason donkeys.
Good night, Hurricane Nation.